Hello, this is a show from Radia. We're a group of stations bringing new and forgotten ways of making radio to our listeners. Each week we give artists the challenge to make radio that works across the whole of Europe and beyond. Are you up for it?
Clear throat. I think that was an instruction. Thank you all for coming tonight. Sniffle. Sorry, I have a bit of a cold. Thank you for coming. Unfortunately, the speaker you all came to see will not be joining us this evening. They had some car trouble just outside of Cornwall. If I knew anything about cars, I could convincingly tell you the whole story. How the screws that held this crucial piece of the engine were stripped from use, loosed the small but crucial piece of the engine, moved out of place to interfere with another mechanical process. This caused an unhealthy sounding rattle and stuttery acceleration. This whole sequence of events itself accelerated thanks to the novel high speeds of highway driving.
They'll know you've arrived when you drive up in the 1958 Edsel, the car that's truly new from nameplate to taillight. New from the front. New from the side. New from the rear.
Today's vehicles are more and more sophisticated, using onboard computers to monitor vehicles' performance. When your check engine light comes on, it takes a special diagnostic tool to pull the codes from the vehicle that pinpoint the area that is causing the warning light. Once the diagnostic is run, an Express Oil Change and Service Center certified mechanic will be able to inspect, diagnose, and assess the exact repair needed on your vehicle. One of the best things about the top quality service at Express Oil Change and Service Center is the fact that all of our work is completed to your vehicle's factory specifications and backed by our comprehensive warranty on parts and labor. At Express Oil Change and Service Center, integrity comes standard with every service. We look forward to serving you.
And remember, of all the medium-priced cars, car for car, across the board, the 1958 Edsel is the one that's new and the lowest price, too.
Thousands of auto repair shops across the country keep our cars running so we can work, shop, and travel. Auto repair and maintenance operations use many types of chemicals and generate a variety of wastes that can impact worker health and the environment.
Rising chemical costs, the rising cost for disposal, compliance with regulations, worker exposure and liability, customer expectations, these are all good reasons for following environmental best practices. EPA calls it pollution prevention. I call it good business practices.
The U.S. Environmental Protection.
Oh, man. You know what some fucker did the other day?
What?
Fucking keyed it.
Oh, man. That's fucked up.
Tell me about it. I had it in storage for 3 years. It was out 5 days. And some dickless piece of shit fuckwear.
They should be fucking killed, man. No trial, no jury, straight to execution.
Boy, I wish I could have caught him doing it. I'd have given anything to catch that asshole. It'd have been worth him doing it just so I could have caught him.
What a fucker.
What's more chicken shit than fucking with a man's automobile?
I mean, don't fuck with another man's vehicle.
You don't do it.
It's just against the rules.
Thank you.
Some are looking at Chevy's handsome new rear end. Electric cars began to appear on roads all over California. They were quiet and fast, produced no exhaust, and ran without gasoline. 10 years later, these futuristic cars were almost entirely gone. What happened? Why should we be haunted by the ghost of the electric?
The exciting thing about this is the cost of operating the car is the same as if you're driving a typical gasoline car, but the gas.
Whereas only 399 F60s were made, and you couldn't just choose to buy one. You were chosen by Ferrari, and you were only selected if they thought you were worthy.
Now, get this.
Plug it in at night, and when I need to drive it, I unplug and drive it away.
Believe it or not, that sucker goes. That thing will take you so fast you can get a ticket.
Wow, I didn't know this existed. How come I don't know about this? Have you seen this on TV?
only have to look at this Formula One style steering wheel to know that you're in something unbelievably special. I mean, look at it. It's a saucer full of secrets. You've got red lights here to tell you when to change gear, and then you've got one that says mode, a button, and another button with set, one for lifting the nose up when you get to a speed bump. And
I want to know
now, race!
Why ask me about the new Nash 600? I could talk all night about that unitized body and coil spring. But it all adds up to a new thrill you can discover for yourself tomorrow.
You'd have to be a fully paid-up member of Exit to do that.
Because everybody wants to see the newest car in America.
Control the marketplace. The oil companies have a strong incentive to discourage alternatives.
They make too much money with their technological stagnation and the internal combustion engine.
For the last 15 years, they've been telling us the fuel cells are 10 to 15 years old.
There's still roughly a trillion barrels worth of oil in the Earth's crust. That's $100 trillion worth of business yet to be done.
General Motors made a commitment to the Hummer because they could see the Hummer would make the money.
The electric vehicle is not for everybody. It can only meet the needs of 90% of the population.
There's more F1 stuff too, like these gear changes here behind the steering wheel.
Okay, now, think when you pull one, but wait until you
like
see
that,
your first new NAS
the onboard computer,
sure, it's beautiful, but
just
it's not
shut
just
it up a,
new
a bit.
Model,
the onboard computer
kind of car.
Disengages the clutch, selects a new gear, orders up
think
a burst of torque from the engine to sustain you during the change, and firms up the rear suspension to stop the back of the car squatting. And it does all that in 150 milliseconds.
And it has a weather eye conditioned air system and a convertible bed.
We're up against the automobile industry, the oil industry. It's David versus Goliath.
Who killed the electric car?
Lack of corporate wisdom.
In my opinion, it's big oil. The murder was committed by the General Motors.
What's interesting? You're going to be shredding some new cars. Why are you shredding them up?
A little bit of a mystery, really.
That seems like a shame.
It was designed to be a road car for the road. Though, which road they had in mind, I have no idea.
Tomorrow,
I think it will go down as one of the biggest blunders in the history
in
of the automotive industry.
You want to see it. Everybody wants to
then
see
it does need colossal
car.
Grunt, because although it's made from carbon fiber and Kevlar, it's actually quite heavy. Sitting still, it weighs more than 1,300 kilograms. At 186 miles an hour, however, when the downforce from that body kicks in, it weighs more than 2 tons. And even so, the top speed is 218 miles an hour. This thing would eat a Porsche Carrera GT. It makes the Porsche look like a Bentley.
Oh, forefathers went to trading posts. Three long days' journey to get powder and shot.
Today I drive my Pontiac to town in a few minutes to see the latest Paris gown.
Oglala Lakota from the Pine Ridge homelands.
Naturally, and in April's final second, of course, is the body by Fisher? Certainly.
This pipeline will threaten this land and this water and our people. Absolutely. We are a very small people. There is no island for us to send back for more Lakota people. I think our Native nations are going to stay opposed to the Keystone XL pipeline and stay opposed to any other oil pipelines that come through here, because we understand that water is a precious resource. It's a gift from our grandfather, and it's a gift for life. It's a gift of life. There's been oil speculators coming around, taking out applications to explore, and they don't bother with the indigenous people. They just want our land. They want our land, and they want everything that's underneath it. The corporations are used to being able to come in and wave money around and make deals, but our people are not going to make a deal, and we're not going to allow our leaders to make a deal either. People who think of the pipeline in terms of jobs and economic benefits are being very short-sighted people. They're not thinking of the future. They're not thinking of the coming generations. They're not thinking of the destiny of Mother Earth. They're just thinking about a paycheck, and that's really sad. It's really sad when we live in a land that people have to choose between a paycheck and water for the coming generations.
Well, this is a Canadian decision. This is a decision that affects the interests of Canadian people, and we should keep it a Canadian process.
And
foreign interests in their deep pockets should not be hijacking that protest.
Now, they've asked me to come and say a few words about failure. Not something I'm terribly familiar with. It says here I'm supposed to wait for the laughter to subside, but if it doesn't start... Okay, so, I was thinking about this topic of failure and what it might mean. I'm up here right now because of a failure. Engine failure. The failure of technology to reliably meet our needs. I like this kind of failure. It reminds us, momentarily, what it is to be human, what our natural limitations are. When you're late for a middle shift at work and you know everyone will be there to catch you trying to pull off 6 minutes late as on time, and your chain slips, your range shifts. What with a bicycle might have been a 20-minute commute balloons to maybe half an hour on the metro or 40 minutes on foot. What one is capable of changes instantly. We depend so much on technology, on systems we often know nothing about. These systems are sufficiently complicated and sufficiently numerous that no one could be expected to understand them all. And inevitably, as we go about our business of taking them for granted, one of them fails, altering our capabilities, preventing us from achieving our ends. This forces us to confront our own frailty, our dependence, but also what we are without our tools. It's interesting that technology is always almost the limit of what it means to be human. Heidegger, in his question concerning technology, looks at two definitions of technology. One he sees as the main proponents, the things that people say are definitions of technology, and one is the idea that it is human activity, and the other is the idea that it's instrumental, that it's a means to an end. Now, both of these definitions he sees as accurate in their own way, because I got that one. Did you see here? Because what is human activity but the positing of ends and development of needs, the development of means to reach them? Language is kind of like that.
Ay, mijo, ay, lindo. Para cosas. Panito, panito, dura, dura.
No, no vas a ver qué vas a ver. Chupita! 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 Chupita con huevo!
Pasito,
pasito,
pito, lito. Ajá. The Atlas Seaford. This tune, just note. To roll each second group of notes. Your first one deliberate, and then roll the second onto the top note. Like something like this. Like that all the way through in the Urla. Then when you come to your doubling, you raise your pace just a wee bit, and the method by which you raise your pace is that you take just the slightest little fraction of your main themal beat, that is your G and your high A, and that keep your intermediary notes exactly the same as they were in your theme. Something like this. Just the same as that. Then for your trebling, you increase quite a bit and make it distinct and forceful. Like, just the remainder of the variation in that way. The torla played down. And good strong pointing. Ro ani mro 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 Then you're doubling, raised but quite cheery. Yon Brony, 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 Bro. About that, and then slow down slightly for your crooner prepper. And always make certain that your last E of your crooner, your low A, and whatever note follows are exactly the same time. Something like this. Then you're doubling quite cheery and smart. So on and so forth.
Not all languages are immediately intelligible, and the role they play is not always clear. But that in and of itself isn't the failure of language. When language fails, it's when it comes up against a word, it comes up against a term, it comes up against an idea, I guess not a word in this case, that it can't possibly process. Translation is almost always an example of failure. No two languages are the same. No two languages come from the same socio-historical context, and no two languages are ever trying to communicate or need to communicate the same things. That's what language is about, the creation of worlds, the need to communicate certain things, to valorize certain things, to talk about certain things in certain ways, is unique to each language. And this is why in colonial languages, in master languages like English, for example, you have a plethora of divergent uses of the language, because the populations who are limited, who for a variety of different reasons are forced to speak this language, have different needs for the language than the people who brought that language to them. And this is the failure of language, ultimately, is its inability to ever say exactly the right thing. I think that's an interesting idea about failure, and it holds true for technology too, and the systems that we create, is that any time we have something, we're never reaching actually the Platonic form. We're getting close, perhaps, but not there, and that, in and of itself, is a constant source of failure. I got that one. Did you see? There's no better time than this point, I think, to address or perhaps hear a word from our sponsors.
CKUT Radio. CKUT Radio is the answer, is the reason that everything happens. 90.3 FM.
3, 2, 1.
C-Cut.
Say, why not become a schmuck? A licensed practicing schmuck. Or if you qualify, a CPS. That's right, a certified public schmuck. You know, it may not seem like it when you look around, but there is a shortage of schmucks in today's society. And there's big money in schmuckdom. The average schmuck today earns over $34,000 a year. And there are openings for schmucks in virtually every field.
The government is run by schmucks, big business is run by schmucks, and more, people are becoming schmucks on their own. You know, some guys can only manage to be schmucks on New Year's Eve, but here's your opportunity to become a full-time, year-round schmuck. Give us a call. Don't be a schmuck. Be a schmuck. Dempsey's Department Store is offering a complete line of cheap crap you don't need at extremely high prices. Come in today and be treated rudely by our poorly trained clerks. Remember, at Dempsey's, we're not just talking about inflation, we're doing something about it. We're raising our prices. Get one now. Everybody has one. They're almost gone. They're portable, lightweight, easy to use, collapsible, convenient, and guaranteed. Get one now. The new Super Jumbo Deluxe. Handy, pre-wrapped designer colors and available in all sizes. Get one now. They won't rust, tarnish, blister, crack, or peel, but they might kill you.
Hey, this is Milk.
And Waffles, and you're listening to CKUT
90.3 FM in Montreal.
Hello, this is a show from Radia. We're a group of stations bringing new and forgotten ways of making radio to our listeners. Each week we give artists the challenge to make radio that works across the whole of Europe and beyond. Are you up for it?